going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's my vibe. Giant fans are happy. They're in a very good mood today. There's a new hope. Chris is calling from Bayshore. How are you on this fine Friday, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
What's up, man?
Listen, Tiki, if I were you, you...
Hold on, Chris. There we go. Now we have Chris from Tinton Falls. There we go. My bad.
Oh, look at that. That's right. Evan,
yeah.
I got to be honest, buddy. I was hoping you were banned and you were going to do like a 90210 channel. I was all ready to start like talking with you offline about it.
Oh, that would have been fun. That would have been a good alternate broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, guys,
so, Rico.
I got to admit, I am super excited about this. I love they didn't overthink Abdul Carter. It's amazing to me. They got Abdul Carter, and we're talking Jackson Dart right now, right? I mean, that shows what a good night it is for them.
Yeah.
And
well, I think we know who Abdul Carter is going to be. Jackson Dart?
No doubt.
It's more the question mark. We don't really know yet.
No, that's exactly it, though, right, Tiki? That's when you know you had a good day. When you can say, we got that one. And you guys were bringing it up earlier. I said earlier in the week I wanted Milrow because I didn't think they could get Dart.
Right.
I was like, wow. And now you guys talked about, like, now you see an identity. I was tough on this regime. I see it now. You got a guy like Drew Phillips, who's such a secondary, but he's tough.
Right.
He's a hitter. That's like a Mark Collins in the secondary, an Antrell role. I like what they're doing, and I've been as rough on these guys as anybody. I got to eat a little duty right now. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, I hear you. Appreciate your call, Chris. And Evan, that's what we are talking about. More than anything, the Abdul Carter draft tells you the identity, at least the hopeful identity for the New York Giants. They're going to have a kick-ass pass rush. Their secondary is more shored up than it has been, and they're going to win defense first. And obviously, they have some playmakers on offense. Tyrone Tracy, who was great and gracious enough to come by the set at the American Dream yesterday, but also obviously they have one of the best wide receivers in football, Malik Nabers. So if they can get one of these quarterbacks to just be steady, who knows what this team could be? So at least the plan looks obvious.
Right, and that leads in to a question we've been asking for 4 months, which is what would have to happen for these guys to keep their job?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, things sort of changed last night in terms of how I would view the owner of the Giants being in a good mood and being hopeful for the future.
Right.
And here's how I view it. You tell me if you agree. Obviously, you win a lot of games, they keep their jobs. That's
right.
Obvious. That's easy.
And that's going to be hard because the NFC East is tough.
No doubt.
The AFC West is tough, and the NFC North is tough. That's all of who they have.
So the idea that they're going to win a lot of games despite building this identity is still going to be a long shot.
Yes.
But how could I go into the offseason if I'm an IFO or if I'm John Mara saying I feel good about this administration? Here's how I would view it now. If I look at this identity that they're building and I feel really good about it, and even though I only won 5 or 6 games and the quarterback play was average because Russell Wilson is washed, a wise man once told me that.
Yeah, that would be me.
But I feel good about the identity they built. I feel good about Jackson Dart, who may not have even played in 2025, but I feel good about the learning and the learning tree he was under. And so even if the Giants win five or six games, if I feel good about the identity they built on defense, if Kayvon Thibodeau has a big year, and it is a big year for him, even with the fifth-year option picked up, and Abdul Carter's defensive player of the year, and they are rushing the quarterback, and they are scaring teams, and they're competing, even if losing to a team like Philadelphia or a team like Washington, then I would look at this administration and say, you know what, keep going.
Yeah.
I believe in you guys. And I think that's how, if the identity continues to build, and I have hope about the young quarterback, that's at least how I would view this administration and say, yeah, bring him back for another year. Let's keep going.
Yeah, they could lose a bunch of games, but they lose because they just can't score enough points. That's kind of, we feel good about the defense. Now, if we only get our offense clicking, then who knows what's going to happen. By the way, I was just looking at I forgot that the Cleveland draft, because of the trade they did, they have two of the top four picks. So you're absolutely right. If they don't take Shedeur Sanders, and it's likely to be with the second of their picks, second of their second round picks, because they draft first in the second round, then Tennessee, then Houston Texans, and then Tennessee, and the Browns are back again. So I think they're probably going to take a corner at 33, and then
Will Johnson, maybe?
Yeah, probably Will Johnson, who a lot of people thought was going to go in the first round.
His medicals last night.
That was the big thing they were talking about, but it's still worth a second round pick, right? So Will Johnson, and then likely Shedeur Sanders with 36.
Well, I'm telling you right now, okay? And I'm not predicting anything. I'm telling you my opinion, because those two things are completely different. I wanted Tyler Warren last night. We'll get more of that a little bit later on. That's what I wanted. I didn't get what I wanted.
Nope.
It's okay. If the Cleveland Browns F around and they don't take Shedeur Sanders with their first, second round pick, who picks right after them? You said the Houston Texans?
Houston Texans. They're not taking a quarterback, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, guess who's on the telephone? Me, if I'm Darren Mooji.
I
try to get up ahead of Cleveland and take Shedeur Sanders, because what I've said about Shedeur is I believe in him. Now, we'll all find out if we're right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes as a novice college football fan, I'm like a blind squirrel. I thought Lamar Jackson was great, but I also thought Jamarcus Russell was great. So I admit it's a complete, like for all of us, Mel Kiper Jr., you don't know.
It is an absolute crapshoot.
But I like Shedeur Sanders, and I'm a man of my word.
Yeah.
And if the Browns F around, if I'm Darren Mooji, I make him pay.
Right. And by the way,
because I would jump ahead and go draft him.
So Tennessee is right there as well. So it's Browns, Texans, Titans. Yeah. Neither of those two teams need a quarterback. So you could theoretically get there, because right after the Browns a second time is the Raiders.
Right.
And they're likely, if he's still sitting there, to take
him. Yeah, so the Jets are not, like, to my fellow Jet fans, and I don't know how many actually want Shedeur Sanders, would look at him and say, hey, bring him in. Because the reason I want to bring him in is I like the idea of Justin Fields, and I want to give him a shot in this offense. But they're going to have to find a franchise quarterback in all likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Because the odds are Justin Fields isn't the answer.
Right.
I hope he is, but the odds are that he's not. So if you have a guy falling to you, go do it. But the problem is he's not falling to the Jets.
No.
He's not falling to their second-round pick. He's fallen to the point, though, Teak, where they can trade up, like I just mentioned, and gobble him at the early part of the second round.
No, and it makes sense. But Cleveland, I think you're right. Cleveland likely is the destination, because right now they have a injured and not going to play Deshaun Watson. They have an aged, and I guess he still thinks he can play, even though who knows how long that's going to last, Joe Flacco, and then Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Right?
Is that exciting quarterback room for you?
Little spoiler, I think they're not taking Shedeur Sanders with any of his two picks. I think they loaded up that ammo to have two firsts next year because they want their real eggs in a basket for next year.
Yeah, but
this is what I think they'll do, though.
Okay, but think about now if you're Stefanski. You're Kevin Stefanski. You're likely to get fired. If you suck again and you don't have something that gives people hope going forward, it's like, all right, don't take Shedeur, but I know I'm getting fired, and somebody else is going to come in next year and take a quarterback in 2026. It's just it's a hard position to put your head coach in. It really is.
I think, though, they're going to do quarterback. I just think they're going to go Jalen Milroe and not deal with the pomp and
circumstance
of Shador Sanders.
By the way, that's a possibility. And, you know, you guys said something in the first hour while I was in detention. It was kind of joking, like, who really cares about Shador Sanders? You're right from a Giant perspective, but this has now become, in my opinion, a Jet story. Because now, I'm just one guy. I don't represent everyone. I know Beningo agrees with me, I'll tell you that. I now look at Shador and say, I want him. I'm interested in him. If he's going to fall to me with my second round pick, which I'm skeptical of, or as Sean points out, the Browns are going to take a different quarterback, maybe Jalen Milroe, my opinion on Shador Sanders isn't changing just because every other general manager decided to pass on him. Like, I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. And I think that even if Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji didn't plan on taking a quarterback in the first two rounds, I think this draft board should change the circumstances, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Evan. Glenn and Moogie, they basically wanted nothing
to do.
They wanted nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers and the circus that came with Aaron Rodgers. There is, like it or not, a circus that comes with Shador Sanders. So
I don't believe that. I think it's overblown. Am I wrong?
We just know how his demeanor is, and we've seen the cameras that have been following him and his father this whole time. You heard Deion even say, and whatever weight you want to put in this is up to you, that he wants to coach in the NFL at some point, and he wants to coach his kid. So I don't know if that's a threat to whoever drafts him, but it might be, especially if Deion, for over the next couple of years, starts winning at Colorado and becomes desirable as an NFL head coach. Now, again, long shots. But it's not an impossibility. You know what I mean?
I think if you have enough confidence in your coaching ability, you bring in the talent. And I think this guy is a first-round talent who's fallen into the second round.
Definitely.
Maybe because of what Tommy said. Maybe it has something to do with the perception of his father and the circus that follows it. But honestly, I listen to this guy talk. I don't think he's a problem at all. I think he's a confident guy. I think a lot of guys are confident. Abdul Carter's confident.
All right.
He's talking about taking LT's number.
Yes,
I mean,
but
come on.
But Abdul Carter is not the face of your franchise.
I get it.
That's the difference.
But maybe this experience is also going to humble him. Because now everybody's passed on him. He's going to be taken by somebody eventually. And you tell him, hey, look, you're going to sit until you prove otherwise. And I also love the idea. I remember hearing these stories about Aaron Rodgers, the story about Dan Marino, the story, Boomer Esiason, the story of the quarterback who's got that freaking chip on their shoulder because everyone disrespected
him. Right.
And let's face it, everyone's disrespected Shador Sanders. And in the cases of the guys I just mentioned, they had pretty good careers.
Mm-hmm.
So just
but they were all first rounders, though.
I know, but they fell.
I know.
I get it.
Aaron Rodgers fell.
Yes. Aaron's a great example.